This is Nia Divine, representing Certified Proof Productions. When I'm not painting the city red, I'm always tuned into the Landscurve Show, the spot where it's always kept real.
Black people, we have to wear our wealth on our sleeve, it seems like. We are nothing unless we have something on our head in the form of a weave or driving a car that might be a little more than what we can afford. Or just some display of some frivolous wealth or something of value, which really doesn't have value, because it's like we do that to make up for that void that we have on the inside instead of that void. And like we were speaking earlier, see how you get treated when you have a T-shirt and shorts and some flip-flops on? Can't you wear a T-shirt and flip-flops and shorts?
You know, it's like, I'm just running to this place to get me a little plate to eat. But, the ladies were acting like, you got to be dressed up just to come in here to buy some food,
But you get treated, But the looks, I could imagine the looks you got.
You know, and I'm looking at them like, wait a minute, you ladies just came from church. you even looking at me like that? Like, how do you know I could have been a Secret Santa or something?
Right?
It's all of y'all's food and you don't pay for nothing,
Exactly.
It's crazy, man.
What if Bill Gates walked in there with flip-flops, a T-shirt, and some shorts? Would they have treated him the same way? No, they know he has a whole crap load of money.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's how we do. I'm not saying you or I, but many of all black people, this is what we do. If we can't see something of monetary value on you, shaking some Mercedes keys or Bentley keys or expensive designer eyeglasses or shades, just something, then we don't treat you any kind of way. So what does this do? It makes us all work hard to look like the real thing instead of being the real thing. So we work hard to get the fake bag, to look like this, or your rich uncle comes over and he has a drop top BMW. Now all of a sudden you want to offer to go to the store because you can drive that car and you're gone for 3 or 4 hours.
it's so crazy, Lance, because, with the profession that we do, the route that I drive goes through, of course, Winter Park. And I'm telling you, man, we see these white folks over there, they got nice cars and everything. But when they step out their car, half of the time, they're not even well dressed up. They're in shorts and T-shirts.
Yes.
And flip-flops. And they're pushing Bentleys, Rolls Royces.
Yes, yes.
BMWs. And they got plenty money.
Yes, and guess what? I know the route that you're talking about because I did it and I love that route. That's a route that if you are deaf, dumb, and blind to how we are as a people overall, and again, I'm not lumping everybody into one category, you see the hot and cold of it. When you're on this side, you see our ignorance. And I'm not saying that they're exalted because of the color of their skin, but we're talking about a certain class of Caucasian when we go to this other neighborhood, right? Because we see good black people there that have class too. Okay, but this is not that neighborhood, right? And so when you see those luxury cars, guess what? Pretty much it's the factory stuff. It's not any crazy rims and blown up tires and booming systems to make you look at me at the red light so you can see the car I'm driving. These guys, like you said, they dress relaxed. They cool. The car is a tool, it's a vehicle, it's a machine. It doesn't make them. They may take more pride in their career and their profession than they do in that piece of car, because that's nothing to them. And they can well afford more than that. Those that we're talking about.
Oh yeah. And just real quick, speaking about the rims, I noticed the difference between them. When they put rims on their car, more than likely, it's the rims that come from the factory of the actual car maker.
Yes, it's an upgrade within the factory. Yeah.
Yes, because with that, to me, the only thing, the logical thing that could come to my mind is that it helps keep the value of the car.
Yes.
So, in other words, when they go out when they spend their money, they spend it in a way where whatever they're buying holds some kind of value, where if in case they need to sell it or get rid of it,
yes,
they can get something in return. Whereas with us, most of the times when we buy stuff, nothing holds value. We just buy it because it's blingy and flashy.
Yes. And attention. We want to be seen. We want to be seen. And this leads me, and we're going to stay on this subject, but this leads me to my realization even more so yesterday when I was down in South Beach. And I've been to South Beach several times, but not the way the day fell and the way I took the time and go and the mood I was in. And, you know, I went down to do that interview. It hit me, okay, the vast amount of money that goes through there, right? And not only that, but I didn't know it was such a large Jewish community there. I'm not saying anything bad, like it's bad, but here in Orlando, we don't have the diversity as much as we do in New York. So the Hasidic Jews that are up there, we're so used to seeing that community, just like we're used to seeing other communities. But when I went down there, and you expect just to see the bathing suits and the cars and the young folks and the flashiness and stuff like that, I saw the businesses more so. I saw the synagogues were letting out and the services were over, worship. And so many of the Hasidic Jews were out. And it was like almost like a pleasant shock, I'll say, because I'm used to seeing that in New York. And it made me feel like, wow, you know, I'm seeing something that I'm seeing from New York just the same way as if it was someone in the nation or someone, you know, Arab, that we have a lot of Arabs in New York, different communities, Russian. So to see that made me feel like, wow, there's a little, I'm glad to see some diversity. But I saw the power in the numbers that were there. And I know they live there. They didn't just come there to worship and go somewhere else. They lived there. And so it hit me that many in the Jewish community, right, they don't operate. They operate in the shadows. I'm not saying it in a bad way. They like to not be in the front. They prefer to make the money, but let somebody else get the notoriety. I'm more concerned about this money. This is what we're here for, to get these funds. But even these young rappers, man, get money, get. They're saying one thing and they're doing something else, and you're blowing your money on like we said, the foolishness. Mm-hmm. And you want to be in the forefront. You want to be in front of the camera. You want to be seen. You want to be something about us, man, like a disease. And we all like to be acknowledged. We all like to get our awards or whatever, but we just want to be seen. This is why we have corneritis. Anywhere we go, anywhere you go in the country, in our neighborhoods, the corner, that's the ultimate. I'm going to the corner. You got to be seen there. It's like, why do you go and put yourself on the corner to hang out? And you're busy watching, yo, hey, what's up, man? Why you want to be seen? When I go a lot of our downtrodden neighborhoods that may have us as Black people there as a predominant population, you got backyards, man. This is Florida. Even if you poor, you got a palm tree, a little grass, even if it's brown or not cut, and privacy. Why do I see these lawn chairs or the resin, the green or the white ones, lined up in the front of your house? Like you have a home, you have a yard. Why are these Black people all sitting in the front of the house watching each other, watching who drives down the block, waving at you and staring at you and not even waving to be friendly, like, who the hell that? Where he going? So and so, you ADT security system probably doesn't even do good business in these neighborhoods because you don't need it. You can leave out of town and leave your front door open. Well, you know, Bubba down the block, he went inside your house at 4:44 yesterday and he stayed in there for like 6 minutes. He came out with two bags. So he ain't the one who stole your TV. You don't need it.
Yeah.
But we got to be seen. But the Jews, they were dressed, of course, the way the Hasidic Jews, and they're not caught up in, I got this Rolex, yo. I got these golds, yo. I got these tats. I got my hair did. I cut it in a mohawk. I dyed it. I got a weave. And these guys, their life, it's just a deep thought. You could see, I'm going to tell you, you can see the beauty in how they live. I'm not putting them down. I'm saying that on that aspect, no matter what anybody says about them, overall, about exploitation of certain communities, we're letting ourselves become exploited. Look, nobody can exploit you unless you allow it. So we're not talking about that. I'm talking about the beauty of how they have their community.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the young men with the young women and they're talking sense. And you don't see the, hey, I'm looking at her ass and man, he's trying to put the make on her, like he's trying to bed her down. And look at, I'm not saying these guys don't have sexual desires and they ain't freaky. I know a lot of them, okay? I could tell you some stories. But when it's all said and done, business first, family first, community first, we do nothing to mar the image of the overall. We do not want to be disgraced.
Yes.
We do not want to bring down the overall because we're a small part of the overall and the overall supports us. What if we had that same kind of feel? What if we had that same kind of mentality? I'm not going to let my pants hang down and show my ass because this is an embarrassment to the elders that came before me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have my titties hanging out and wiggling around showing my thong, and every chance you get, you see a next man coming, you happen to drop something because you want to bend over so he can see your ass. Is that all you have to offer? I see these Jews talking, and they're talking. I can't hear them. I'm in a car. But the body language, I'm like, looking, they're talking some sense. They're talking the future. And these guys don't choose their women or choose their mate. Number one, you ain't the only one, from what I gather, in that community choosing your mate.
Mm.
They better pass inspection, buddy.
Yes.
Who's the family? Because it's not just a merging of two people, like we say. It's a blending of two people. It's a blending of two lineages, two bloodlines, two families, two financial situations, empires.
Mm-hmm.
So as a man in that community, you better be straight. What is your profession? What do you excel in? What do you have? Who is your family?
Yes.
It's the coming together of two families, and they ain't going to go outside. So when black people say, no, I'm going to try to build up my own race and stick with my own race, and I'm not knocking those who have found love other places, if it's real, and I spoke about that, but we embrace so much, and we don't mind being deluded. We don't mind, I'm Cuban and I'm Indian and I'm this and I got Irish and yes, I also have a little bit of black. With them, no. You're going to marry a young Jewish girl. And when they have to pull their little sons and little young men by the side, I could imagine, I'm not saying they say this, but from what I know, those who want to go out and do some dirt, the ones I know who wanted to go out and get some black ass and come by the cab drivers and find out where to get it, and pay somebody $400 a night to discreetly drive them where they have to go. Now, this is what I know. They'll do it. But when they go back home into their community, they're Mr. Yankel so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so, and they are not going to do anything that looks bad on their community. They'll creep, but they're not going to do that. We put all our business out in the street. Man, the wife was gone, for the weekend, man. I was in the house, man. I had these three bitches running around. Man, why don't you call me, man? My wife was asleep all weekend. She was sick. That old girl, she's out of town. I couldn't get me nothing then. And you just talking in public, neighbors hearing you, little kids hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
You that little kid in the candy store looking to get some candy with a couple pennies in your pocket. You hear everything. I heard all the dirt from the men in my neighborhood. But I still called him Mister.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's a difference in the communities, man, and we gotta really straighten up.
I would suggest to your listeners, Lance.
Yes.
Speaking on community, last night, man, I went to go see Chirac.
Mm. I gotta see it. You tell me. Tell me about it.
Man, brother, you first of all, you have to go in to the movie, looking at the movie with an open mind.
Oh, yeah. And let me just say before you continue on, I listened to many of Spike Lee's interviews on that. And he told us, because he brought up the negative things that were said about it, and he smashed it right down. So I understand that. But I want you to tell the listeners that, continue.
One of the things I noticed from watching the movie was there's a lot of cursing. And when I first, you know, felt uncomfortable hearing all the cursing and stuff. But then as I kept watching the movie, it dawned on me, man, like, you know, in my mind, the reason why he probably put all the cursing in there is to get you as a people to realize, like, one, this is how we talk to one another.
Yes.
And to get you so annoyed with it to the point where it's like, we need to change the way we even communicate with each other. You know, because it was like everybody in the community, no matter what, the police, everybody, we could have just said something simple as, you know, hey, get off the block. But no, they had to say, hey, get off the MF block.
Right.
Or fucking block, you know?
Right.
Like, why do we, as black people or as the black community, why do we always have to add cursing in our language or in our communication between each other?
Yes.
You know? And it was so funny how you had everything was kind of spoken in like a rhyme throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to my mind after I watched the movie was like, man, if you really like listen to black people and how some of us communicate with each other, it's like we rap into each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we don't even communicate on just a regular level of communication. We are so backwards in our communicating, you know? And then what another thing that was so interesting about the movie, they had a white preacher, you know, the preacher who's the man who runs the big church in the community was a white guy. And automatically,
Father Flager.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the dude, the way, what I was thinking, what Spike Lee was trying to do is to show that how if the message of community coming together was coming from a black person, say Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm. That's Flager's buddy, too. They go back.
You won't hear it. Most of it would go over a lot of black people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
The minute a white man gets up and starts talking about you need stronger community and this and that.
Oh, they'll respond. Yeah. They'll accept
everybody accepts it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, there was a scene when he went and he met with the main character, which is played by Nick Cannon. And they did a one-on-one talk. And he was talking about how you need to form the beef between him and the other rival gang. And after the preacher made the speech, Nick Cannon was like, so how much you want for this? So it's like, okay, even though to the community he looks like a god in everybody's eyes,
yeah,
he's still feeling too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, he's just as bad as per se, a black preacher.
Right,
but
right.
Because he's a white guy, people don't look at him as that way. They look at him as a god. Like, he's like the, you know, oh, man, there was so many subliminal messages in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of couples walked out of the movie because, like I said, it was a lot of cursing. But I realized that the cursing to me was, he wanted you to really get sickened.
Yes.
To the point of why we talk to each other like that. You know?
And it is. It really is sickening.
You need to really go and see the movie with an open eye.
Yeah, definitely.
An open eye, open mind. Because you would get sick of it because of, you know, a lot of people don't like rap and, you know, hip hop and stuff. So
they take you there. They take you. But see, people need to see that. And it's funny. I just want to add in those couples who walked out because of the cussing. They may have more cussing and damning in their own house. You know, you never know. But
yeah,
we need to take people there. But a lot of folks are in their own world and they don't see what's really going on out there and doing what we do, you know, to make our regular paychecks. We see it. And so many people say, yeah, I know when I see it, but to see it on a sustained basis, you can go out and get a taste of it in your commute and not have it inflicted on you all the time. So imagine being a young kid coming up in that environment, and you're a clean slate when you're a young child, ready to absorb what's around you on a positive level. But then you hear just this stuff and see just this stuff. After a while, you know, you begin to take that as normal because you latch on to that.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, he's young, he's 14. Why is he into the guns and into the... Well, from birth, this is what this particular... I'm just making up something to make a point. A young child coming up in that environment, in a jacked up household, jacked up block. What you think he's going to do? There's no hope for life, so how do you expect somebody to have any value for life?
Yeah.
So it's easy to shoot you because they hate something in their life, or they hate the father that wasn't there. They hate their blackness. They hate this. They might hate their crackhead mama who they see her head disappear in the front seat or the back seat of a car, and now she has money to get something to eat, and he knows what she did, getting teased at school, broke, hungry. Want the girl, but don't feel like a man. Just, there's so much going on. How can these young kids who are young men now, who come up in that type of situation, how can they even be men? Real men. Not males. They're males because they have a penis. But men, yeah. Men in principle. And then people want to blame them. Of course, you know there's the law, and you know if you do this, you have to pay the price for it, but that doesn't register with them because that's not on their scale.
Yeah. You know, and a little bit back to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing I noticed he had in the movie, he had this conscious group. I don't even know who they are, but I know I've seen the brothers where they wear like a hat with a tassel, like a like graduation type caps.
Oh, the Moors.
Moors.
Yeah.
It's so funny. You know, the thought that comes to my mind is that even they were kind of ignorant. And to me, it was like he wanted to also show in the movie how that it's like the whole community is sick. Even the conscious community is corrupt.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the way it is in real life. Yeah.
So it's like this. I mean, even the conscious community has its issues.
Yeah.
And that is also helping to keep black people down.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? Oh, man. Beautifully written, beautifully displayed. I mean.
And this is what we need in our movies and our entertainment, something to make us think and to put things into perspective instead of this other stuff. To cater to our lower desires and fan those flames and get us in trouble when we're caught up in the lust and caught up in the anger and caught something that sits you down and makes you think. And then also the ratchetness that is there is reality for a lot of people. And it's also an attractant to keeping the ignorant people who are blinded there.
Yes.
It keeps them there. Because if they think that that's all it's about, they've just been fed some medicine, you know? So if they latch on to that, hey man, he said that bitch got a fat ass. But there's a message in there. And for those of us who know, we have to look past the things that are offensive and see the reality of other people and the message in it for us and what we need to do. But you're right about the conscious community also. The egos get involved and people want to be heard and I want to be the one saying this over you. And so you look at blog talk radio, look at these different mediums. There are people gone wild thinking that when I get up to the mic and start speaking, the world's going to change. I'm going to get all my followers and people fiend for that, man.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing. I told many people, like first, personally, I'm an artist. I'm dying to draw some. I'm setting this up so I can make it easy for myself so I can get back to drawing my pictures. I'm not out here to, you know, do this like, yes, I'm the man. No. I've told many people, look, this is the lane I'm in. I'm doing this, but you know what? If they think that, and the dear Lord told me to stop, I can stop right now. I don't have to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not a need like some. You got to look at people and look at what their motivations are for doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to help out here. And if it's another lane that I am called into to help or stimulate or whatever, not that I know everything, but to stimulate people to think a certain way, I'll do it. If I had to sweep floors and talk to one person who gets out of work late and say, hey, man, let me talk to you. It's the same thing. This just uses a little more leverage to reach more people through social media. But on the ego tip, I don't need it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So and this is why I don't understand when I so obviously see people who are driven, who just want to open their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they're trying to convince themselves about themselves.
You know.
Because this is not an easy thing, man. And I tell you one thing, it damn sure doesn't pay.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what was so funny, too? Another thing I noticed in the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had scenes where the people were protesting. You know, we need to stop the guns, and Black Lives Matter, and all of this stuff. And then what happened was the police chief, I guess, he came in and he decided one of the things to do was to play some music. So they played some old 70s music. And the scene was, he was showing each of the groups, everybody was dancing, even the group that was protesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought that just came to my mind was just like, you know, when you really look at these things with these protesters and these marches and stuff, it seems like it's just it's not like how it used to be during the civil rights movement where it really meant something.
Yes.
Nowadays, people just protest and march. It's just like that's just the thing to do. That's
it's
the
just the thing,
thing
to do, right? Are you willing to really indulge in some type of personal sacrifice? Even when they had, the bus march, the bus boycott in the civil rights movement, right? And nobody took the bus. I'm quite sure there's one or two coons that got up there, or Sambo-esque, you know. I got up there and rode the bus, but collectively as a community, do we have that unity and that single-mindedness of purpose to say we are doing this, right?
Yeah.
And we don't. I don't think, you know, I'll go down there and march because, you know, the cameras are rolling, but as far as boycotting the pork spot, I can't give that pork up. As far as giving up this, I can't give that up. The power in numbers and the stick-itiveness, we don't have that. You're right. We don't have it. It's a fashion statement. It's just something you do, the minimal thing you do, at least show up in March. And what if you took the cameras away? Because really, back in the civil rights movement, when we look at the things that have happened that we can see that were recorded, wasn't no poor black people there with no camcorders. You didn't have camcorders there then. You didn't have cell phone video and cell phone pictures and or camcorders you can buy and just point and click and upload it to your computer and put it out there. Those were the few cameras that were there that the media had that happened to be there that they turned it around and caught something. Most of what happened, I can't tell you the facts, but come on, this is common sense. Most of what happened was not recorded.
Yep.
Back in that day, we didn't have the access to that kind of technology. It had to be, maybe there were some people who had Super 8 cameras or whatever, but come on, what did you catch? You had to be there at that time with the water hoses and the dogs, and you had photographers, media, but most of those poor black people didn't have any cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So to capture that, that was a small slice. So much more happened, yet we had that single-mindedness in our purpose without social media. We didn't need it.
Yes.
It's word of mouth. This is what we're going to do. We're sick of this. And they did it. Now we have more means of communication, And we can't agree on anything.
Yeah.
We bow our heads more to the phone than we do to any God that we claim that we, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You forget about God real quick. Go put a dent in somebody's car in the church parking lot. Go throw some ketchup on a white outfit before they hit the service. You'll hear more cursing than Chirac. The holiness of God. Everything's a fashion statement, an outward display. There's no conviction.
Of doing anything.
Yeah, but and behind the scenes, do it unseen. Do it unseen.
Yeah.
Don't do it just because the camera's there. Do it when nobody's around.
Yes.
This is why I talk about blogging and this video stuff and these shows and all the technical things and the frustrations that come with that. Whatever you see, if you see an hour of something, it may be 18, 20 hours behind that one thing of something you did wrong or something that busted, money you got to spend. You know how much money I got to make to recoup on stuff I spent? What are you going to do? You know, people, oh, I can just step to the forefront and just, I was there. Many people went to the Million Man March because they wanted to be seen to say they were there.
Yeah.
They there looking at the ass and trying to find out where the night spots are. I went to the march. Well, let's go and have fun. Like the folks who go to church because there's more fun in the parking lot after the service with the gossip or the potato salad and ham you can get or them free breads that you can get that's going to be stale in 3 days that they give away than the actual service.
Mm-hmm.
Coming together instead of gossiping and saying, let's go over by sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and let's do this for them. Let's put our money together unless their car broke down. We know they don't have any money. Instead of gossiping about it, they ain't got no money. I don't know what they're going to do. Well, get in your damn pockets and collectively fix that person's transmission or make sure that person has a ride to the doctor. They grass ain't cut. They grass ain't cut. Oh, man, they must be doing bad. Just go over there and do it. We had that. We don't have that no more. We march when the camera's around. And when the cameras are gone and there's no drama, it's every man for himself in the black community. And in the Jewish community, it's not like that. They don't care about no damn camera. They don't care about no damn rims. They don't care about whatever. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not going to roll up on one of them and harass them as a police officer or shoot them or beat them down. First of all, they carry themselves a certain way. Now, I'm not saying because some black people don't carry themselves a certain way, they get that kind of treatment. No, they don't deserve that kind of treatment. But you know what? As a community, we're not respected. You wouldn't think about doing that to anybody in the Jewish community. A Hasidic Jew walking with his woman, walking through the hood late at night. First of all, they're not going to be there. But if they were there, Negro, you know you better not go. And make them feel uncomfortable. Oh, you have to protect them. Because if you don't, something goes down, we got hell to pay. And they're not going to hesitate. They're going to have an answer right then and there. Because you do something to one of them, you did it to all of them.
Oh, yeah.
We only do that most of the time. And, man, you messing my brother. You messing my sister, man. It's only an opportunity to show how tough you are. You're not... A lot of times they don't even care about their own brother and sister. And it could be a Jew that don't know the next Jew, but you ain't going to do nothing to that next Jew because you did it to them, you did it to me.
Yes.
You stop your car and you get out and you what's going on? And the cops won't even say, well, who are you to this person? No, you don't do that. They see them all as one. Up in Crown Heights, they have their neighborhood patrols with their walkie-talkies and they drive around. And make sure everything is all right. Cops are there, but they making sure. And when they see that kind of concern and commitment, the cops like, whoa, these jokers are organized. They out here in shifts. They ain't out here because they said, let's just drive around a little bit. No. Yankel, this is your day. This is your hour. You know, so-and-so. You know, Jaime, this is... they're going to get like Jesse Jackson. This is your time. And they're organized. They have their reports and they have their so-and-so. And they go to the cops. We demand to know why.
Make sure to check out the boldest blog at landscurve.com and follow Scurve on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube under Lance Scurve.